Narayana Namaskritya Narachaiva Narutama Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nastapayesha Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhavati Nishtike Bede Ramani Jaiva Purane Bharati Tata Adyo Adyuttama Dice Hari Sabacha Kiyati Mukam Kruti Bachalan Prangu Langriti Kri Yakripataham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarile Paramananda Madhava Dhamma Pujita Katavutra Paramoni Masham Satan Vedan Vastavam Vastavastu Shivadam Tabatayo Mulana Shima Bhagavati Mahamudhi Kritiki Vai Pera Ishvara Sadyurudhi Abharudhi Trakati Vitaka Shanam Hanamo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hanamo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing the narration of Brahma Vimohan Lila. This is the pastime of Lord Brahma, how he became illusioned by Krishna's super potency. Actually, Brahmaji, he thought he could trick the Lord, he could trick the Lord Krishna by using his own mystic potency, because he witnessed the pastime of Krishna's killing of Agasura. Initially, Agasura had swallowed all the Krishna's friend, because they entered the mouth of Agasura, and Krishna he also entered the Agasura mouth, and then Krishna killed him. And then Krishna came out of the mouth, and all Krishna's friend also came out. Krishna revived all his friends, and he brought them out out of the mouth of Agasura. So this pastimes was witnessed by Lord Brahma. So, and of course, they all very, very wonderful pastimes. And then the Brahma was seeing how Krishna had surrounded himself with the cowherd boys in the forest, and they're having a picnic. So they're having such a very loving, transcendental exchanges, you know, they're having picnic, eating all kinds of food. So Lord Brahma, he decided to play a trick on the Lord. He wanted to play a trick because when the calves of the cowherd boys, they've wandered away. They were not there where they were all playing. So the cowherd boys, they became a little bit panicked that where are the calves? So Krishna told them that, okay, I will go look for them. All of you just stay. Don't be afraid. I will go and look for the calves. So while Krishna was away, the Brahma took the cowherd boys and also the calf. He took them away. He took them and hid them somewhere. Now, he wants to see what Krishna will do now. Because he stole the cowherd boys, he stole the calf. So Krishna came back to the spot. So Brahmaji, he wants to see what Krishna will do. But Krishna is called Aptakam. His desires can never be thwarted by anything. His desire to enjoy himself can never be frustrated. So immediately Krishna manifested all the cowherd boys, all the calves. Not just manifested them, their nature, their particular nature, their dress, their manner of speaking, all these things Krishna manifested. He manifested in all the cowherd boys and calf, you know, all of them. And then Krishna was enjoying himself just as before with all the cowherd boys and the calves. Except that now all these cowherd boys and calves, they're actually Krishna himself. These are Krishna's own expansions. So Lord Brahma, he was wondering what is going on, because according to he went out, and as per our own calculation, which is 1 year of time, but for Brahma's time it's just a moment. So when he came back to the spot where Krishna was sitting and standing and performing pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends, he saw that Krishna is still the same with all his friends. They were all eating, you know, joking among themselves, performing so many wonderful leelas. So Brahmaji, he became confused actually. He went to see the spot where he had hidden the cowherd boys. They were still there. They are still there lying. They were lying in the mystic slumber which he had put them. But at the same time, he came back to the forest where Krishna was. Krishna is still there with all his friends. So Brahmaji was wondering what happened. And of course, then Krishna wanted to reveal something to Brahmaji, and then Brahmaji could see that all these cowherd boyfriends and calves, they all, you know, Vishnu themselves, because they are transformed, they are Vishnu. So this pastime is called Brahma Vimohalila, how Brahma became very illusioned by his own mystic potency, because he thought that he could put Krishna in he could make Krishna bewildered. So now, these pastimes of Brahma Vimohalila is sometimes debated by many personalities. That Lord Brahma, first of all, Lord Brahma is a pure devotee. He's not an ordinary person. He was actually a very dear devotee of the Lord. And of course, he's been the creator of the universe. And not just that, he is also our original guru. He's the original guru of the Vaishnava Sampradayas. So how come, after Lord Krishna said that, he said, Mama Maya Dvata, he said, my devotees can never be under any illusory situation. So how is it that Brahmaji could be influenced in such a way that he would take Krishna's friends away? It's just not possible that Brahmaji could be illusioned that way. And that's why the Madhva Sampradaya, they said that these two chapters of the Bhagavatam, the chapter 13 and 14, they are interpolation. They say they are interpolation, that is not the original part of Bhagavatam. Because they cannot accept the fact that our original acharya could be illusion, could be under an illusion. The pure devotees, they are always free from illusion. They are always free. But so therefore, they don't accept these two chapters. This was revealed, of course, by Srila Jiva Goswami in the Tattvasandarbha, that this episode. And the, now, and of course, Shita Mahaprabhu, he accepted the Srila Sridhar Maharaj, no, Srila Sridhar Swami, original commentator of the Bhagavatam. And Sridhar Swami commented on these two chapters. So if Sridhar Swami commented on these two chapters, so ultimately it's bona fide. It's not that it's an interpolation. Now, and of course, the Lord, according to his own free will, he can perform any pastime with his pure devotees. Now, the kind of illusion that Brahma was putting, this is not ordinary, it's not Mahamaya, it's not under Mahamaya, it's not like it was illusion by the illusory energy of the Lord. So therefore, it's, you know, this episode happened. But Brahmaji was actually put into Krishna's own illusory potency. It's Krishna's own Maya. When Krishna said Mama Maya, this is his own Maya, his own illusion, his own, which is part of a Swarup Shakti. So therefore, because Brahmaji, he wanted to see a particular act, and the Lord showed it to him. And that's why after the after seeing these Vishnu forms and the who are actually cowherd boys, Brahma prayed to Krishna, because Brahma saw himself that maybe he had committed a big offense by trying to take away Krishna's Krishna's friend. So Brahma came to pray. But what was Krishna doing? Krishna was simply smiling at Brahma. He was smiling at him, saying that, oh, look, I'm a bigger trickster than you. You thought that you could trick me, but I'm a bigger trickster. So Krishna simply smiled at Brahmaji. So which means Krishna did not take serious the offense of Lord Brahma. He didn't take it serious. You know. So anyway, we this verse today, text 10:13, 49. This is the vision of Lord Brahma. So 10 Canto Bhagavatam, 13 chapter, text 49. Angry Master Kapunas Tulasi Navadamadhi Koma Lai Savagatresu Buri Punyabadapitai. Angry Master come from the feet up to the top of the head. Apunaha, fully decorated. Tulasi Navadharma be with garlands of fresh tulsi leaves. Komalai, tender, soft. Savagatreshu, on all the limbs of the body. Buri Punjabat Apitai, which were offered by devotees engaged in the greatest pious activity, worshipping the Supreme Lord by hearing, chanting, and so on. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. Purport. The word Buri Punyavad Apitai is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who had performed pious activities suited to be for many births, and who were constantly engaged in devotional service, Shravana Kirtana Vishnu. Bhakti devotional service is the engagement of those who have performed highly developed pious activities. The accumulation of pious activities has already been mentioned elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, where Sukadeva Goswami says, Itam satam brahma sukhano bhutya dasam gatanam paradhavatena mayasitanam naradarakena sakam vijaru krita punja panjaha. Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. In our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamar tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected, but now it has developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is a sign of Bori Punya. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Dalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tapataya Namo Namaha Namamo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Patulish Shrimati Bhakti Vinata Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nevisesa Sanyavadi Pashta Dishtarini Vanchaka Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhi Devacha Patitanam Pavanavibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Angry mastakanapunans tulsi nama dhamma bhi komalai sabagatreshu puri punya bada apitai. Every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves offered by devotees engaged in worshiping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. So this is a very interesting verse, and of course the purport by Srila Prabhupada much more interesting. Actually, towards the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada made mention of this tamar tree here, this tamar tree, right? That previously, before this temple, it was simply neglected, you know, nobody's caring for it. But now, you know, the temple is there, devotional service to the Lord is being performed. Now the tree is very, very beautiful, very, very luxuriant and all that. Just like when Bhakti came to Vrindavan, actually Bhakti was coming to Vrindavan along with her two sons, Gyan and Varagya. So, on reaching Vrindavan, Bhakti became very, very, you know, youthful, very, very, her form became very luxuriant, everything. Beauty, looks, everything became fully manifested. But her two sons, Gyan and Varagya, they lose all their, all their youthfulness. They became very, very old and very the script, very, very old, Gyan and Varagya. Actually, when Nadamani came to Vrindavan and she saw a lady who was crying because she was sitting beside two old men, so Nadamani saw this lady, young lady, and with two, so she thought, so Nadamani thought that maybe this lady was lamenting for the this old man, maybe one of them is their father or something. Because Nadamani was assuming that this is Vrindavan, how could anyone be sad here in Vrindavan? So when Nadamani approached this lady and asked her that, why are you lamenting? What is the cause? So she said that, well, my name is Bhakti, and these two old men, these are actually my children, these two old men. And then she narrated how she had come from South India and that traveling various places. And then on reaching Vrindavan, she became youthful, but her two sons became very, very old. So that is the, you know, potential of Bhakti, because Bhakti, everything became fully alive, whereas there's no place for Gyan and Vairagya. It becomes very, 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 very secondary. So the vision, so Nada, Lord Brahma, he was seeing the transformation of the cowherd boys, who are actually the forms of Vishnu, the form of Narayan. He was seeing them, they've all transformed into Vishnu, into Narayan. All of them have four arm forms, and they are being worshipped by many, many devotees. They are being worshipped. So, this is mentioned here that they are being worshipped by many, many devotees, but these are not ordinary persons who are rendering this service of offering tulsi garlands to the Vishnu forms. These are persons who have rendered tremendous amount of pious activities in many, many lifetimes. Which means that it's not a simple thing for one to actually come to the point of rendering devotional service to the Lord. That how do one attain bhakti? How do one attain devotional service? So as elaborated by Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhaktisiddhanta, but that devotional service is not attained by some, you know, performance of pious activities, performance of sacrifices. So because the cause of devotional service is being analyzed, that what could be the cause of devotional service? Is it by Gyan, by Vairagya, so many things? It's been analyzed. So now it mentioned here that Buri Punya, that the performance of pious activities that led to the devotional service. But this cannot be the case because many, many persons, they are performing a lot of pious activities. Especially in the Vedic scriptures, it's listed so many, many different types of pious activities that one can perform. And usually, when one performs different pious activities, such as performance of jaga, performance of fruit, I mean, like digging the well, so many things, normally one can get promotion to the heavenly planet. Usually all the demigods are those persons who have performed so many pious activities while on earth. But which means, which pious activities lead to devotional service? There's what we call Bhakti Omukha Sukriti. Sometimes it's also called as Agyata Sukriti, you know, Agyata Sukriti, which means unknown devotional service. You know, Bhakti Omukha Sukriti, which means that activity that one performs without any particular, you know, expectation, which eventually leads to bhakti. Just like you mentioned that that sankirtya pariyarascha stobam elana evacha, that there are four type of ways by which a person can chant without any intention, just doing the chanting. Sankirtya, like sometimes you're on the street and somebody just say, "Oh, Hare Krishna," or whatever. They just, because they want to make a mockery of the, you know, of the devotee, especially in the West, you know. Just like the case of Ajamil, he named his child Narayan. So he be called Narayan, but he was actually chanting the Lord's name, but he didn't know it. He was just saying Narayan, Narayan, because he was, because of his attachment to his son. And also one time, Gadara Das, who was an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. So one time there was one Muslim, he was like a ruler, but he was like a king or something. But this person was very, very, he was like a tormentor of the devotees. Very, very antagonistic, will harass devotees, will torment them, will torture them. That people were always very, very afraid. So, Gadara Das, he came to know about this, he knew about this. So he said, "Who is this person? Who does he think he is to disturb the devotees when they are chanting? Who does he think he is? So I'm going to go to him, I'm going to chastise him. I'm going to go to him, I'm going to chastise him." Gadara Padi was so bold, you know. So the devotee said, "Oh, don't go to him. If you go to him, he's a very dangerous man. If you go to him, you may be killed. Don't go to him." The Gadara said, "No, I'm going to go to him." So Gadara, he went to the palace of this king. And he went to him with his very, very enthusiastic. He said that you must chant Krishna's name today. You must chant Krishna's name. You know, first of all, the king was so surprised that anyone could come to him, so bold. But Gadara was so, he said, "You must chant the Lord, you must chant the Lord's name, Krishna's name." So the king is, "Okay, look, Gadara, don't worry. You come back tomorrow and I'm going to chant Krishna's name. You come back tomorrow, chant Krishna's name." So when Gadara heard this, that when he said, "Oh, I'm going to chant Krishna's name," so Gadara said, "Oh," and the Gadara was dancing. He said, "Oh, you've already chanted Krishna. Just say Krishna now. You've already said Krishna. So therefore, just by the words you saying Krishna, all your sinful activities have all been eradicated." You know. Even though the king was, he didn't have intention to chant, but the fact that he just chanted because he just wanted to get rid of Gadara. So, "Oh, come back tomorrow. I will chant Krishna's name." Gadara said, "Oh, you've already chanted. By this act, you've already, you know, performed all kind of activity, you've already attained liberation." So in this way, the how pious activities that lead to devotional service can actually be performed. So Mother Devahuti, she was making a prayer to her son, Kapila Dev, in the Bhagavatam 3:33-7. So she said, "Aho bhata sapacho to gareyan, ya jiva gre bhata te nam chubyan, te pusta paste juhuvu sasno arya, brahmanuchu nama grinanti yete." Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name, even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifice and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy place of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So basically, because there's a very long purpose by Srila Prabhupada, to come to the level of chanting the Lord's name, of actually worshiping the Lord, this is not an ordinary thing. It means someone who has done something in their previous lives. So many things in their previous life, for them to come to the point of being able to render devotional service in this lifetime. So the case of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous life, he was actually a Brahmin, and he was very attached to a prostitute. In his previous life, he was attached to a prostitute, and he basically gave up his Brahminical duties and started, he had this relationship with a prostitute. So one time, the prostitute became angry at him, and then she ran away. She ran away. So Prahlad, in his previous life, he was very, very morose, very, very dejected that, this person has run away. So he went over, he was searching for her all over the places. He was searching. And then he entered a deep forest. He was crying, lamenting. So he entered the forest, and all of a sudden, there was a big storm. A big storm came. So when this big storm came, so he was looking for a shelter, and then he found an abandoned building. So he went inside this abandoned building, and he took shelter there. In the same time, the prostitute also was also looking for Prahlad, and then, okay, his name was not Prahlad at that time, but, So she also entered the same building, so both of them, they spent the night in this abandoned building, and then the next day, they left. So that abandoned building happened to be an old temple of Nrisingadev. It was an old temple of Nrisingadev. So because of that, staying in that temple, even though without him knowing that it was a temple, so what happened is that he became the great Prahlad in his next life. He became a great devotee in his next life. He met his spiritual master. Even right from the womb of his mother, he was a devotee. There was also a narration of one. There was a bird which is being chased by a bigger bird. It was chasing. There's a one bird was being chased by a bigger bird, and this bird was trying to run for its life, and then the bird was circumambulating a building. There was a building which happened to be a temple, so the bird was going around the building. Eventually, the bird died. But when the bird died, an airplane was sent from the spiritual world to carry the bird to attain liberation, to take the bird to the spiritual world. Why? Because the bird, by circumambulating the temple, the bird rendered devotional service. Even though without knowing to him, he rendered devotional service to the and then the Lord accepted that devotional service. And then in the next life, the bird, attained the liberation. This is what we call agyata, unknowing pious activities, which gives one the benefit of attaining the Lord's devotional service. This agyata sukriti or bhakti omukha sukriti. So it's just not ordinary activities. So Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned this verse from the 12th chapter, the last chapter of Bhagavatam. Itam sutam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatenam mayasitanam nara darakenam sakam vijaru krita punya punja. So this verse, Srila Prabhupada he quoted this verse several times. If you listen to many Prabhupada's lectures, you will hear this verse quite a bit. How these cowherd boys, you know, how they got such a great fortune of being able to play with Krishna or being able to play with the Supreme Lord. Sukha Goswami was saying that these cowherd boys, the Brijabasis, they must have performed so many lifetimes, they must have performed so many pious activities. So there was one time Srila Prabhupada was asked by the devotees that this devotional service, we have come to devotional service because we perform so many pious activities in our previous lives. So therefore, we've come to devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "I've created your pious activities. You know, because you know, coming from Milecha land, you know, in pious land, what pious activities could we have performed?" That's when Srila Prabhupada arrived in New York in 1965. He composed those two prayers. Bolo Krishna, Kole Krishna, Adame Prati, that prayer. That, my dear Lord, I don't know why you have brought me to this sinful place, which is of that, because everyone is simply overwhelmed in the mode of ignorance and passion. So I don't know why you have brought me here, but you have brought me here because you have a purpose. So therefore, make me your puppet and make me dance as you like. So which means, what pious activity do we have? None. But the pure devotees created that pious activities. Which means, if your pure devotee desires something, then that will come to pass. Because Lord Krishna cannot overlook the desire of his devotee. He cannot overlook it. So the Lord, he granted the desire of his devotees. So the cowherd boys, Sukha Goswami was saying that these boys who had earned, he said they performed heaps of merit, heaps of pious activities, and they are not playing with Krishna, they are frolicking with him in the forest. They are going around, they are wrestling with each other, they are exchanging food, all these things. You know, when they were having the picnic, on each other's plate, they'd be exchanging food. From their plate, they take the food and they put on each other's mouth with Krishna. Krishna would do the same. We put the food in their mouth, and they also take the food from their plate and put it in Krishna's mouth. So this is very amazing pastimes which an ordinary devotees cannot comprehend, especially those devotees who are in the Aishwarya above. You know, they cannot understand how could someone be sitting with the Lord, and the Supreme Lord, who the fear personified, is afraid of. How could anybody be? This is totally incomprehensible, that how can someone be feeding him? So therefore, Sukha Goswami said, these boys are eaten, some Brahma, so cannibals. So like, because there are three types of persons who he mentioned in this verse. Those, the impersonalists, the gyanis, the impersonalists, and then the normal devotees, they call who simply accept the Lord as the Supreme Being and they offer in worship. So the Gyani, the Bhaktas, and they worship, those Bhaktas, they worship the Lord in all and reference. They see the Lord as a master and they are the servant. And then the ordinary Kamis, who only see the Lord as just an ordinary boy, Krishna has made his appearance as the son of Nanda, son of Yashoda, or son of Devaki, Vasudev. But they simply see him as just an honorary person. That is called a Maya, what is it? Maya Sritanam. Maya Sritanam means the ordinary persons. So these three types of persons, they just cannot understand that these boys who are playing with Krishna, they must have performed so many, many, they must have accumulated heaps and heaps of pious credits. They must have accumulated the otherwise, how is it possible? So, Srila Siddha Swami is making his comment. He said, due to amazement, because Sukadeva Goswami himself was very, very amazed when he's narrating these pastimes. So, he said, due to amazement, Sukha, he praises them, these boys. He said, they had fun with him, who is perceived by the learned Satan, you know, as the realization. Which is the bliss, which is Brahman, which means the impersonalist. Because impersonalists, they meditate on Krishna, on the Supreme Lord, so that they can merge into the impersonal effulgence. And then by devotees who are in the Dasya Gautanam, Bhaktanam, which means they see the Lord as their master, and they see themselves as the servants of the master. And then, of course, by those who are in Maya, the Kamis, the sense enjoyers, so to them, they just cannot understand the nature of these cowherd boys. They cannot understand. So that's why sometimes with the Acharya, they say that devotees of Vrindavan, they are never the same as devotees of Dwarka or of devotees of Mathura. Two different persons. Devotees of Mathura, devotees of Dwarka, they always pray to Krishna. They pray to him. Bhagavatam is full of prayers by devotees of Dwarka, Vrindavan. Whenever Krishna came back to Dwarka, they always, you know, offer a lot of prayers to Krishna. Just like when Krishna came out of, when he came to the prison house of Vasudeva and Devaki, both Vasudeva and Devaki, they were offering prayers to Krishna. But Vrindavan is not the same. Nobody offered prayer to Krishna in Vrindavan. Nobody offered prayer to him. Everyone just sees Krishna as their most wonderful relatives. That's the way they see him. You know, sometimes he's chastised by the elderly group. When they see Krishna being naughty, they chastise him. Or sometimes they say, oh Krishna, we're going to give you laddu. We're going to sing. If you dance, we will give you laddu. So, and Krishna will do according to their wish. You want me to dance? Okay, I'm going to dance because I want some laddu. So, this pastimes of Vrindavan, it cannot be comprehended, it cannot be understood by the impersonalists or the Nama devotees who are simply absorbed in that astral above. This can never be understood. And that's why it's the most confidential. The bhakti of Vrindavan is most confidential. And this bhakti is not a product of the material world. Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan, three things. These are not products of material world. This is under the Swarup Shakti, the spiritual potency, you know, of the Lord. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Prabhu was saying, after depicting their games in this manner, in this verse, Sukha Goswami extols the good fortune of all the residents of Braja. In the light of the world, Brajokasam, so beginning from the companions, in terms of being greater than everyone else. So in this world, generally, only three kinds of people are counted: the gyanis, the devotees, and the kamis. So that is what's in this world: the gyanis, the devotees, and the kamis. Those three categories are referred to here. So the companions, they play with Krishna. But the same person who the cowherd boys they are playing with is the same person that the gyanis, is perceived along with the realization, which is the bliss, which is the Brahman realization. So Krishna's body is the realization of the Brahman, of the bliss of Brahman. So anyway, this is a purport which is being given by Vishnu Chakravarti. They explain that how these three kind of people can never come to the realm, can never understand the realm of the pure devotional service or the level of bhakti or braja bhakti, which is there. Braja bhakti can never be understood by some ways. To attain braja bhakti, it's not an ordinary thing. It's not an ordinary thing. So that's why it's only by the mercy of the pure devotees can this is possible. So when Brahmaji, when he's seen this vision of Vishnu, or the cowherd boys, they become Vishnu, and he see that thousands of devotees, they are offering garlands, offering flowers to this Vishnu form, they are worshipping them from the body to the, from the head to the top, to the bottom, they are worshipping them. So Brahma is saying that all these devotees, they are not ordinary persons, they must have performed the Lord's devotional service for many, many, many lifetimes due to the accumulation of devotional credit or pious credit, back to Umukha Sukriti. So they've come to this platform of being able to render devotional service unto Krishna. So there can be a lot of discussions. Of course, at the end, Srila Prabhupada mentioned of this tamar tree. Tamar represents Krishna's, Krishna's body. The black is Krishna. So bhakti, of course, become manifest in the land of Vrindavan. So we can just imagine, we can just see how fortunate many of us are to be able to come here to the land of Vrindavan and being able to stay here by the Lord's pure devotee's mercy. By the Lord's mercy upon us, so we're able to be here and render some service or in whatever situation, whatever circumstance. So anyway, I'm going to stop here. If there's any question or comments, you can go. Hare Krishna.
Just like Krishna bewildered his pure devotee Arjuna for the sake of teaching, re-establishing religious principles, also he bewildered Brahma as part of his pastime, all of his pure devotee Lord Brahma, just so that he can actually satisfy the elderly gopis and show his power, establish his power. And even Mohini Murthy bewildered Lord Shiva. So this divine energy of Krishna's is very, very powerful, very bewildering. But they all the lessons in Bhagavatam are just meant to help us appreciate the spiritual potency of the Lord and surrender.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, that's good. And this Krishna's divine potency, it's only with his devotees only. Krishna bewilders the kamis by his maya potency. But his swarup shakti bewilders his devotees. And that's for his pleasure. Any other points? Any other question? Comments? Okay. Anyway, thank you very much. Grantarashma Bhagavatam Ki.